There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Lundi Gras and this live local talk. I'm glad you're here. Phone number, text line 343-0106. 343-0106. Lots to do on the show. We're going to get in some Mardi Gras talk, and we'll talk about that in, coming up in the second half of the show. I'll explain that in a second. Actually, got some Mardi Gras talk coming up beforehand because I need your input on a couple things I noticed over the weekend. All right, so... get your input here in a second. Also, coming up, we'll talk about a couple things on the docket in Montgomery this week. Yes, even though it's the boom boom, it's Mardi Gras down here. They're back in session tomorrow in Montgomery. We'll get into some of the Senate politics. We had former Senator Jeff Sessions, of course, a candidate again for the Republican primary for Senate, joined us this morning. But we'll talk a little bit about one of his opponents here, Tommy Tuberville, and how he's doing with Alabama fans. Now, this is a question that early on we're laughing about, but it's actually been put to the test. They've actually done some surveying on this, how Tommy Tuberville does with Bama fans. And then we can correlate from that, number of Bama fans in the state, number of Bama fans that are likely voters, and maybe pull some kind of metric out of it, or wrap it out of a hat. I'm not sure exactly which one. Plus, officials are discussing crossover voting ahead of our Super Tuesday that is a week from tomorrow, which, by the way, tomorrow, an event here at FM Talk 106.5, because it is Fat Tuesday, and we got obligations downtown for a lot of folks here. We're doing a special program, our Super Fat Tuesday, and it is a mix of, well, the fact is Fat Tuesday and interviews we've done over the last months and months and months with candidates being AL1, Senate, and other races. Those interviews are going to be played tomorrow, and you'll be able to hear from candidates in AL1 on the Republican side, and also the Senate side on the Republicans as well. So we'll get that aired tomorrow. Where we normally do Mobile Mornings will be our Super Fat Tuesday. All right, so that's on the way tomorrow. Now, I will get to this couple things here on the weather front for today. Staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams says chance of rain coming this afternoon. A few showers out there, actually. I was out there about an hour ago. A few light showers in my area of Mobile County near Airport N65. I know there's a better chance as we get into the evening. I haven't heard anything other than IMs is rolling tonight. You got parades rolling right now and got IMs rolling tonight. So that... for no change in that. Tomorrow for Fat Tuesday, the forecast looks pretty darn good. Rain kind of getting out of here overnight and going to be a good day during the day tomorrow. So that's good news for Fat Tuesday. Now, the rain that's still falling is bad news as you look at places like folks that live east of 43 in Saraland, for example. So another update here from the National Weather Service. Flood warning continues for Bayou Sara. As of 8 o'clock this morning, the stage was 7.4 feet. Moderate flooding is occurring and major flooding is forecast. The flood stage, normal flood stage, where flood stage is 4 feet, so they're 3.4 feet above that. Rivers forecast to crest around 7.6 feet tomorrow and hold above 7.5 feet through Thursday before falling slightly later into the week and weekend. At 7.5 feet, numerous houses flood and some evacuations also become necessary. Above 8 feet, numerous streets and houses flood east of the railroad between Bayou Sara and Norton Creeks. Now, this is not just for folks in Saraland. Same thing true for people in the hurricane community in Baldwin County. I know Southeast Washington County, people there at the at Bates Lake in that area are having flood issues. So as you go up the river system as well, people in Monroe County, Washington County, Clark County dealing with this. But it's not peaked yet. It's close to the crest for the Mobile River. I think that's forecast for Thursday. And it's starting to fall on the Tom Bigby and just at crest at, on the Alabama River at Claiborne. So we'll keep our eyes on this and talk about this with Dr. Bill, too, when we check back in. But this is like a situation that has been coming, and now it's right here near crest time, and there's still a little bit of rain falling out there today. So keep those people in your prayers out there that have homes that that they're getting water in them or close to it. All right, so the big news story you heard at the update there from Westwood One, it's Harvey Weinstein. I don't know. I mean, how much talking about this do you want to do? Are you fired up to talk about it? Weinstein's been found guilty of rape in the third degree and criminal sexual acts in the first degree, bringing his seven-week New York trial to a conviction in the central criminal case of the Me Too movement, as reports Deadline.com. Weinstein was remanded to custody by New York Supreme Court Judge James Burke, which means he went straight on to jail. He's got the full sentencing is going to be on Wednesday, March 11th. His defense attorney, Donna Rotuno, made a unsuccessful last-ditch plea to keep Weinstein free on bail due to, in part, his ill health and pain as a result of an auto accident last summer, but the judge did not grant the request. So Weinstein goes to jail. He goes to jail. Four New York court marshals immediately surrounded Weinstein, seated at the defense table. As many as nine other officers were stationed alongside the walls and doors in the lower Manhattan courtroom. Weinstein remained quiet through the verdict delivery, staring forward at the judge's bench. Now, there's a lot to this story and the information that's, you know, discussed in the trial, but you know they're going to appeal this case. He's facing up to 5 years on this one charge. How long does he serve on that? How long, you know, he goes to jail now. He gets a sentencing coming up on Wednesday. They're going to appeal it. Will he see any long term in prison? That's a question a lot of people are asking here. I mean, you got a first degree charge. So here's the rundown. It said a poll, first degree charge stemming from allegations by former Project Runway production assistant Miriam Mimi Haley that Weinstein forcibly had sex with her at a Soho apartment in 2006. You could see Miramax co-creator face up to 25 years in prison with a minimum of 4 years. Third degree rape count based on a 2013 rape allegation by Weinstein's former hairstylist and aspiring actress Jessica Mann could bring 4 years in prison, though probation on that count is possible. With a 25-year maximum, the conviction could see the 67-year-old Weinstein spend the rest of his life in prison. He also faces a sexual misconduct trial in L.A. involving two women, one of whom, Lauren Young, testified to in New York to bolster Haley and Mann's cases. Jury found Weinstein not guilty on two counts of predatory sexual assault, apparently dismissing or deadlocking on the rape allegation made by actress Annabella Sciorra. In order to convict on predatory counts, the jury had to find Weinstein guilty in cases of Mann and or Haley plus Sciorra. He's sentenced to prison. But they are talking immediately about appealing this. Does he stay in prison? What's it like when you put Harvey Weinstein in prison? What kind of prison does he go to? I mean, they're saying right now they're taking him directly to prison. I don't know where in New York, what prison he goes to, but where do you put a major Hollywood producer in prison? So we'll watch this story, but that's one of the ones breaking, and we'll get an update from Westwood One in about 15, 16 minutes here on Midday Mobile. All right, grab a call here. I guess we'll grab a quick call, and then we'll go to the break. I want to get your reaction to some of my questions about things I saw at Mardi Gras over the last 2 days. And by the way, thank you to all y'all that gave us a shout and a thumbs up as we rolled through on the floral parade on Saturday. And a big thank you to Webb Jackson and the crew from St. Jude's that had us part of their section of the floral parade on Saturday. It was a lot of fun. Dalton and I and Lauren rolled the whole route. And I got to wave a lot of people, throw a lot of throws out of the very two small windows on the van. And we just appreciate y'all out there giving us a holler back. So thank you. Can't wait to do that again next year. All right. You want to go to Jay? We'll go to Jay in Mobile before we run to the news. Hey, Jay.
You know what I'm talking about?
Hey, Jay.
Hi. How are you doing?
Doing good, Jay. What's happening?
I wanted to appreciate you for clarifying some of that stuff about Harvey Weinstein. I don't really have a strong opinion on that. I don't know if he did or not. I don't think he's a very nice person, and I think it's good that he'll be off the streets. He'll make society a better place. Hopefully it'll send some messages. And I hope we all learn a lesson from this. A lot of times people, you know, fall into this idol worship with these Hollywood stars. And, you know, to be very frank with you, I think a lot of the women, you know, were basically using him, and he was using them, kind of like in that Bob Seger song. She used me, I used her, neither one cared. However, when things go wrong, people start caring. But I don't really like Harvey Weinstein. I don't like his reputation, and, you know, I'll just leave it at that. But I also wanted to call and talk about the Joe Kane parade. I think that we need to put some restrictions now on what people are allowed to do and not do in the parade. And I'm going to be very frank and say this. We had a group of gay people there that were dressed inappropriately. I don't have a problem with gay people being in the parade. I'm against gay marriage, and that's good, and I have a right to be against gay marriage. But I don't want anybody to go and flaunt their sexuality in an improper way. I don't want you to do it. I don't want gay people to do it. I don't want straight people. And for the record, I don't want any really hot women to be acting inappropriately in a parade like that in public. What you do in private?
No hot women? To do.
No, it's inappropriate. And what I may like, you may not like. And we go too far sometimes. So, yes, sir, I don't want it. And the reason I'm making that statement is, while I personally would probably like to see that, I have to put your desires, the desires of a five-year-old child, ahead of my personal desires. And I think that that's just appropriate. And I think when people want to go out there and put their desires ahead of what other people think, it's inappropriate.
Well, I'll say this, some racy costumes, agreed. And I think year by year, there have been some getting racier each year. I'll agree with that. But where do you say, does the city put out a dress code, Jay?
Absolutely. 100% yes. Schools have dress codes. There's public morals that we have to do, and there's public standards that we have to follow, and they put out a dress code. If you want to fly a gay flag parade, march down Government Street flying your gay flag, you are welcome to do that. You have a right to do it, and I will support that right. Now, in the same token, if other groups want to do it, I will support that right. But there are limitations on how far we go. Some of these people have crossed the lines. Not everybody. Most of the people were well in bounds, and I have no problem with the overwhelming majority. However, there is a certain group of people, you know, in virtually any group, that will exceed those limitations, and we need to encourage them back in. In other words, if you want to go to a private dance hall and dance that way and people are for it, do it. But if you're going to walk down Government Street, you're going to have a standard that you have to uphold. Okay. And when you exceed that standard, you've crossed the line and you're asked to step out. And let me say this for the record. The people need to do it themselves. If somebody's a member of your group and they're misbehaving, you take them by the hand and you sit them down and do it. If my child misbehaves, I have a responsibility as a parent to go and talk to them. If I'm part of a group and they're acting inappropriately, I have a responsibility to that group and to society to say, hey, look, you know, this is not what we stand for. If you're going to be part of our group, you're not going to act that way.
It's going to be interesting.
It's that simple.
But it is going to be interesting because when you talk about this, there has to be the dress code standard or what's acceptable, that has to be codified. So, I mean, city council has to pass something, right, and define what is and what is not appropriate.
Well, I don't think it'll be very hard to do. Let me say this. If you want to say no frontal nudity or no...
I didn't see any backside nudity either, so...
Yeah, well, I don't think people need to go out showing their behinds. I don't think it's going to be that difficult to do. And, you know, if you say, well, no topless men, I can live with that. If you want to make it fair, fine, you know, period. And I don't think the problem is with women. I think the problem is with men doing it. And, you know, enough's enough.
There we go, Jay. Appreciate your call. I'm up against the break here. Got to jump, but I appreciate your call. When we come back, get reaction. Folks are on the text line about this. What do you think? Jay says, is it out of control with what's tolerated at the Joe Kane parade? Where you see something yesterday you didn't like? And where would you put? I mean, if you're going to make you king for a day, we do that around here at Mardi Gras. What would you set the levels for? What would you set the dress code at, huh? What would your choice be? I see some interesting things coming in already on the text line. I could talk to you on the phone lines, too, at 343-0106. It's going down in the city. Yes, it's Mardi Gras time. We gon' rock it.
jacket, live, hollin', hey, Poppy, wait. We party by the bay. Now if you never dance before, you're gonna dance today. Hollywood pride, throw some beans, girl, that bay. Going down when you're listening to the jukebox break. Don't try to relax, just let it flow. When you're ready for our city, this is how it goes.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, 12:25, FM Talk 106.5 on this Lundy Gras edition of Midday Mobile. What Jay asked earlier, and I'm looking through your text, I'll read through some of these and take some phone calls as well. It's obviously, there's some things that are going to be over the top and extreme, and people can agree that that's too much. That's too much. But you, what I've always, for some reason, always obsessed on is where's the line? Where do you draw that line? It's easy to say what's completely acceptable. It's easy probably to say, okay, that's too much. Can't do that. But then somewhere between those two extremes, you got to say, okay, and there's the line, right? There's the line. You can't go any further. Because this is gets into a little bit on the flip side of... Okay, tomorrow. So tomorrow, Comic Cowboys will roll. Who knows what the Comic Cowboys might be saying tomorrow. This will be something that some people will probably find offense with, right? We've had offense for many, many different reasons over the years with the Comic Cowboys, and I think it's the last time, was it last year, the year before, that Councilman Fred Richardson wanted to have some kind of censorship or some kind of maybe... it's off the top of my head. Maybe I'm not right here, but I think he wanted to see the signs beforehand or some kind of approval or vetting on that. You know, and people say, no way, no way. Well, but I mean, is there somewhat, I'm not saying it's apples to apples, but it's at least, something that comes off a tree here. I mean, there's some similarities between what Jay was talking about and maybe what people have questioned about what's drawn, painted on the, not drawn, painted on the floats there. For the Comic Cowboys. So, well, you know, is it the artist renditioning of something that needs to be, you know, if there's a fanny showing on that, does it need to be covered up somehow with the kids? I'm part of that. I'm somebody who, you know, enjoys Mardi Gras. I have two young children. I mean, I think about things like this. But what about that? What about the dress code part of it? Okay, here from the text line here. Paul, you cannot have a sliding scale of booties that you would see or not see. You can't say, Paul, just kind of taking from your text that you would judge whether the booty would be able to be shown at Joe Kane or something on how attractive. You can't do that. You can't do that, Paul. I don't think so. Tony says, dang it, I never get to see any boobies down there. Listen, Tony, this is one of the things that, and they have been displayed before, Mardi Gras passed, but one of the things that makes Mobile Mardi Gras so different than New Orleans is that kind of stuff, right? There's still people drinking and cursing and cavorting and all that kind of stuff, but it's not, it is definitely tame compared to New Orleans. I think that is the place for our Mardi Gras. I think that's what makes our Mardi Gras successful. So I would say that if you're sitting from a city council level or city level and realize what a big moneymaker this is, if something went too far, if some part of this went too far, like Jay was saying, if there's offense taken for the costumes being too tight or suggestive or something like that, you know, the city's probably going to look at that. Probably going to look at you joke about this, though. Joe Kane Day is probably it's going to be the highlight of that, right? Or the low light, depending on how you look at it. If you want, Saturday and Sunday are kind of, it's interesting because floral parade is the one you always feel safe taking, you know, I mean, anybody. You could take grandma and the kids there. They shouldn't see much happening during the floral parade that's going to be offensive to them. Joe Kane Day? Yeah. People's parade. I don't know if there's any guarantees there. Doug says on the dress code at Mardi Gras, if you wouldn't want your mama to see you that way, then it tells you all you need to know. Well, I know, but I probably... Doug, I probably there's many things that have happened at Mardi Gras. I probably won't mama to see. It's probably right there. Let's see. Vicky says the answer to the question about the dress code is your appearance something you'd want your future grandchildren to see in a photograph, plain and simple. Yeah, I've got to. It's pretty good measure. Somebody saying there's the horseback rider with a thong yesterday. I did not see that, and I. I was there at Joe Kane. I was close to everything going on during the Joe Kane parade and the march. I did not see that. Yes, Fred does suggest your mom's probably seen you naked, though, right? If things are normal, she probably saw you naked. Daniel says you can see anything on non-cable TV that you see at Mardi Gras. If your kids are watching TV, they're seeing softcore porn. Oh, my gosh. I don't know if it's that far, but I believe the language, I'll agree with you, Daniel, has gone that way. Also said, I understand gay pride, but I'm proud to be straight, and I don't go around half-naked to show it. Interesting. All right, this is part of the discussion. And what about year-round Mardi Gras? Did you see that story? There might be a push to do year-round Mardi Gras. Would you be for that?
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Phone number 343-0106, 343-0106. It's Midday Mobile. Hey, y'all. Let's do that. I'll grab some text here and a call. I do want to get to this Will Bama fans vote for Tuberville story here shortly, but let's first look at the text here. But Jay earlier called, and it just eliminated like a half an hour of the prep work that I'd done for my show, which is cool, Jay. I'm good with that, asking the question. Just commenting on the dress code. And I think he was commenting on a gay pride group in the Joe Kane parade yesterday, what they were dressed, how they were dressed in this, in the Joe Kane parade. But I think you can go further, and I'm seeing from the text line, more people saw different things that were of question. This thong question. Now, see, Dan, I think, this is Dan I know, he's a reliable source. Dan said it was a bikini bottom, not a thong, that this woman had on. Huh? Like, no, Chuck, we can't. Chuck is trying to help out, though. Chuck said, can you post a video? I missed it yesterday downtown. Like, Chuck, I don't have the video. Chuck sounds like, you know, you hear the stories like when they go to do a vice bust on a strip club. I mean, they may or may not had one here in the last, 6 months or so, and they talked about the number of hours worked by the vice squad to go see if it's there were six officers in there 6 days a week to check out to make sure that the whatever was going on in there was a violation of the topless code or whatever. So Chuck, I know you're just trying to help. You would like to see the boasted videos you could see. Matt says year-round Mardi Gras would be redundant for a large part of the population. Yes, that's true. Now, Chris and Daphne says, I've seen some yoga pants that should be deemed obscene. Chris, maybe I've seen those too. Tony and Daphne says, all kidding aside, I've never seen anything very offensive during Mardi Gras. Getting older, I don't go very often, but I've taken my 9-year-old, and I don't think he would even see it. He's so focused on getting the throws. But Tony, I got a 9-year-old too, and that's for sure. He's really, I mean, throw crazy. I asked him, like, what was that float about? Do you see anything on it? No, there are people throwing stuff, though. I don't know. So the idea is, should there be some kind of dress code here for Mardi Gras? In the case, really, where it's going to come into effect is on a day like Joe Kane Day, right, where you have the marchers, you have people's parade. You're not going to have that kind of issue with organized crews, right? I mean, they got their internal rules and all that, and what was acceptable with that. But when you have Joe Kane Day, then you have People's Parade. You see the Bienville squirrels were new. I saw those yesterday. They were tribute to the squirrels in Bienville Square. They even had a fountain they were pulling along, and the people were dressed with squirrel tails on. I thought that was interesting. So I don't know. Neil says, all for it. It's Mardi Gras. We know what's over the line. Nothing yesterday was over the line. My 6 and 7-year-olds were with me. So there you go. I said, like what Jay said earlier, here, we can all probably easily define what is completely okay, right? And then we could probably easily define the farthest extreme of what's not okay. Okay. But somewhere in between, if you're going to have an ordinance or set a rule or something like that, well, people say, oh, well, what you'd want your mom to see in. The city can't run an ordinance and enforce something that what you would be okay with your mom seeing. So they would have to define it, right? They would have to define it. And it would have to be like this one thing is up to the edge of being okay, and this thing is one step over the line. That's the tough thing with this. Everybody's like, well, I know. Okay, sure. Extreme level, we know it's not okay. And we know what is completely okay. But somewhere in between, you would have to set that line. And how do you do that? All right. And for the year-round Mardi Gras thing, this is just a discussion has come up a few times here about using Mardi Gras for more than just the season. In other words, and we kind of do it now. You know, it's growing up. Mardi Gras was Mardi Gras, and we really didn't much talk about Mardi Gras when it wasn't Mardi Gras season, right? And I mean, from the 70s, 80s, 90s, I mean, we had Mardi Gras, and it was cool, and we loved it, but we didn't, like, talk about it as much the rest of the year. So I think the city is definitely, and the whole area is probably more engaged in Mardi Gras than ever in my lifetime, at least kind of a year-round thing. But is it a, cause it was a story, I think it was my buddy John Sharp had up. Was it John Sharp? It was John's story. And he was talking about the amount of money that, you know, Mardi Gras brings in. I mean, it's the biggest event for tourism dollars spent, I think, for the state of Alabama. Not just us, state of Alabama. And so if you're looking at this, like, from a business mind, okay, whatever's working, let's keep doing more of that, right? I mean, that's, you're looking at your business. This division of the business is making more money than the other divisions. Let's do some capital investment in that and build this up and do more there. But there's also, you can jump the shark, right, is what they say. There's a point where it might be too much. I mean, John asked in this story, he said, indeed, Mardi Gras is Alabama's biggest money-making festival because it embraces a multi-week fun factor. Could that atmosphere be embraced by the city beyond Fat Tuesday for a full 365 days with more parades, events, and carnival or New Orleans-inspired businesses? So, I love it. I'm fully engaged in Mardi Gras. I'm a big fan. Our household's a big fan. We're one of those families. But in July, I just don't. It's not Mardi Gras time. In November, it's not Mardi Gras time. We are paying homage to it with different stores and different events and Mardi Gras Park and those kind of things for tourists coming through. And I think that's great. That's good. That's a branding for the city is good. But do I want to engage in like Mardi Gras stuff every month or something? Right now, where I'm sitting, I don't. I think it's Mardi Gras is there. It's just like the frustration with so many things that are on the calendar because they're determined by the church, right? And the church calendar. And Mardi Gras is all about what's coming up on Wednesday and Ash Wednesday. So to have it year-round, it loses its significance. I don't know. What do you think? We'll grab some calls on this, too. But, yeah, that is just a story John put up. It's a good story. Like all of his are. Let me retweet that right now. And just a discussion of year-round. I mean, I understand the struggle between the two, because if you're looking at this from a tax revenue or a business standpoint, if it's working right now, can't it? Why wouldn't we do it all the time? Why wouldn't we do more of that? Why wouldn't, this is the thing, why would you stop doing it? But I would worry that it's so great and it's so popular because it's just for this window each year. Let's go to David in Mobile. First up, hey, David.
Hey, Sean, I'm with you on that. It depends on how you define year-round Mardi Gras. If we're going to do parades every Saturday afternoon through downtown Mobile, no, that takes away from the allure and the appeal of regular Mardi Gras. But if we're going to keep doing what we've been doing as a city and branding other events around the Mardi Gras theme, like the Moon Pie Drop, or the Mardi Gras Parade for the Senior Bowl, or for the whatever the bowl's called now, the Lending Tree Bowl, that's fine. If we want to do stuff like an Arts and Crafts Festival and call it the Moon Pie Arts and Crafts Festival, or a Jazz and Zydeco Festival and call it the Joe Kane People's Fest, that's fine. That's branding that makes, that draws in people, and people say, oh, yeah, that's Mobile. But a parade every weekend through the downtown streets of downtown, no, that takes away from regular Mardi Gras.
And I appreciate that. That's kind of what I'm wondering. I mean, it's a, and I think I agree on most what you said. If there's, the idea of, hey, you come here, by the way, tourists from other places, did you know this is the home place of Mardi Gras, and we do this thing each year, and hopefully you can come back for that when you get a chance. Look at all this cool stuff we do. We'd love for you to come back, but right now we're not doing it because we're it's November, you know, or whatever, it's July. I mean, we give a nod to it, tell the folks that we're down with that, it's a cool thing that we do, but y'all have to come back and do it.
Exactly. Give them a little taste. In the radio business, I think they call that a tease.
It is a tease. Similar to saying Tommy Tuberville may not be scoring well with Alabama fans in the Alabama Republican Senate primary. But if you hold on, I'll tell you if that's true or false as we move on through this Mardi Gras edition of Midday Mobile.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:50, FM Talk 106.5. And it is Midday Mobile on this Lundi Gras. By the way, looking at the parade schedule and kind of overlaying that with Dr. Bill's forecast. It's kind of what we're trying to do this morning, and it's evolving through the day. I'm just checking the radar, and it looks okay. Of course, we're wondering what we're going to be looking at tonight. Dr. Bill says an increasing chance of showers. Now, is that 6:30? Is that going to get in the way of the IM start or not? Really still to be determined, because the rain's kind of, it's just scattered around. There's places, if you look at a radar loop, there's places that are getting a pretty good rain shower, and then you go a few miles away, and there's places getting nothing. So I think it's still worth, if you've got plans to go down to IM tonight, still worth keeping that going, at least looking at it right now. We'll get another update here probably by the end of this show from Dr. Bill, and we'll let you know if we see anything different. But once again, you have events started at 11 o'clock this morning with the arrival of King Felix, and this goes through the whole day, the whole afternoon, into the evening, and then tonight we've got IMs rolling. And is that the last? What's the later start? Is the one in Fairhope the later start? Which one's the? Yeah, I think IMs is okay. IMs is 7, and then Order of Dove 7:30. There we go. And then the Order of Mystic Magnolias in Fairhope 6:45. So 6:30 on is kind of what we're looking at for the start of the parades that conclude the evenings on both sides of the bay. And it looks okay right now on the forecast. All right, let's grab some phone calls and text. And by the way, it's. A pretty good mix of reactions here to this question about Mardi Gras year-round. And then a lot of people asking about what clothing people were wearing yesterday at the Joe Kane Parade. I mean, Tony says, I agree. Tony says, steak is great, but if you have one every day, it would lose a lot of its appeal. John from Daphne say parades are expensive, that the organizations can't possibly support multiple parades a year. I don't think the organizations would. John, I don't think they would be. I think there'd be some other version of that. What I'm saying is just the whole Mardi Gras thing. I think the idea of saying, hey, tourists are coming here, this is what we do, you know, this is what we do leading into Ash Wednesday, this is a cool thing, we sure hope you come back for it, it's a lot of fun, here's why it's fun, and here's the story of it, and you go to the museum and all that, but like actually having the city put things on, or I don't think I'd like it at all. And I'm a person that loves Mardi Gras. I love Mardi Gras, but I like it when it's supposed to be. We'll see. See if this is just some talk right now or if they're going to go forward with anything like that. Let's go to Paul. He is in Fairhope up next. Hey, Paul.
Hey there, Sean. I was looking for some summer fun Mardi Gras style.
Some what?
If all of you, for some summer fun Mardi Gras style, if all the associations and crews got together and possibly sponsored a music festival with maskers and maybe floats on display.
Well, that would be cool because, I mean, it would be really about the music festival. I mean, it would have the theme, you're right, of being Mardi Gras, but it wouldn't be like, we wouldn't be doing Mardi Gras. We wouldn't be parading, right? We'd just
right.
be in,
that's right. cool. Just something done in the theme of Mardi Gras, and possibly it could be done for charity events and things like that, and I understand we need some help with our music festivals in the area.
Now, that would be cool. There you go. It's like a branding, right? I mean, it's a Mardi Gras mm-hmm. branding of a music festival, but it's not truly having Mardi Gras in July or something like that.
Right, right. But once again, maskers from different associations could show up in mass, and some of the floats could be displayed, possibly.
It's not a bad idea, Paul. I like where you're going. Yeah.
All right.
Thank you, man. Okay, there you go. So that's branding. And that idea, I mean, I get it because you look at the fact that if you were running, if the city of Mobile was a business, right, and you were looking like what's making our business, and it's not, and to always be able to say, well, you ought to run every part of city government like a business, as much as I'm a pretty hardcore fiscal conservative, there's some things that you would never do in a small business that you are compelled to do in government. I mean, they're just, I think it's somewhat shallow to start talking about. You need to run government like a business. Parts of it you sure as heck do, and we fail on that. Look at the overspending. Look at the waste of money. But there's like putting in a park so your citizens can enjoy the park is like something that doesn't equate with business. Okay, so back to what I'm saying, but this is like if there's a part of your business that's doing better and making more revenue, you usually put capital investment in it, right? You say, well, that's the thing we're going to do. Let's increase spending there. Let's do more of that. But there's this dangerous level where I think you can do it too much. You can water it down, overstep, jump the shark, whatever cliche you want to throw in there with this. But like Paul said and David earlier, yes, maybe there's a way to just keep that branding going and remind folks that, hey, if y'all want to come back at the right time of year, we're doing this Mardi Gras thing, and we'd love to have you here. So, all right. Let me, and we'll still talk next hour. We'll talk more about Mardi Gras stuff, but I want to get to this Tommy Tuberville story. And if you want to go check the podcast out, Jeff Sessions was on with Dalton and I this morning, the former senator. His interview up on the podcast page. He talked to us for about half an hour this morning during Mobile Mornings. So he's obviously in the mix here. Bradley Byrne in the mix here, two locals running in the Senate race, and then the one that's not from here, Tommy Tuberville. And the story that comes out from Ramsey Archibald over at AL.com said, will Alabama football fans vote for a former Auburn coach? Now, this is something, the second that Tuberville, you know what, when Tuberville was exploring running for governor in the state of Alabama, remember that, when he was exploring running for governor, this subject came up then too. Now it's back. But it's not just us all sitting around on the tailgate of the truck talking about it. Now it's actually had some, I'm putting air quotes here, some research done behind it, okay? Had some kind of some polling and research done. We'll get to that. So it's called the story down from AL.com says, according to research from Samford University in Birmingham, Tuberville is facing an uphill battle, okay? Darren White, the chair of the Entrepreneurship Management and Marketing Department in Samford's Brock School of Business, and his students used a special tool to identify Alabama and Auburn fans in the state and then determine how popular Tuberville is among each group. They used a tool called the Affinio platform, like affinity, I guess, to identify. If it was April 1st, I would never read this story to you, but this is not a April Fools. They used a tool called the Affinio platform to identify nearly 13,000 people in Alabama who are either Alabama or Auburn fans and are on Twitter. Wonder if I got, Dalton, you think we got cut up in that? You think my wife got, she might have skewed those numbers. According to their research, about 71% of the people in this, out of the 13,000, cheered for the Crimson Tide, while 29% cheered for Auburn. Among those groups, Tuberville is significantly more relevant among Auburn fans than Alabama fans. Tuberville collected a local, and this is a, they call this a local relevance score, all right, is how they're doing this. Tuberville collected a local relevance score of 8.3 out of 100 among Auburn fans, compared to just 1.5 out of 100 among Alabama fans. Meanwhile, Auburn fans are 36.8 times more likely to follow Tuberville on Twitter than the rest of the Alabama Twitter population, while Alabama fans are only 5.9 times more likely to follow him. Tuberville has more than 28,000 Twitter followers. Local relevance is a score that aims to understand how much a certain person or brand, in this case Tommy Tuberville, resonates with a particular group of people. The local relevance score in this case compares Alabama and Auburn fans against everyone else in the state of Alabama. Tuberville's score of 8.3 among Auburn fans puts him on par with people like Stephen Colbert, For comparison, President Trump has a local relevance score of 23 among Auburn fans. So Tuberville's score is 8.3 in this metric here. President Trump is 23 among Auburn fans. So the former head coach of the Auburn Tigers has an 8.3 relevance number. President Trump, that not that, to my knowledge, ever did coach on the Plains, has a 23 among Auburn fans. For Alabama fans, Tuberville is about as relevant in Alabama as the Philadelphia Eagles, the San Antonio Spurs, and oh my gosh, is this a Major League Soccer. So according to their studies, Alabama fans find Tuberville as relevant as MLS. That may be the most scathing thing that's come out in this whole campaign process. Talk about this more when we get back. Bama fans, would you vote for Tuberville? If so, why? If not, why? Talk to you next.